Welcome to HBF. It is good to see you this morning. If you have your Bibles, be turning to the book of Romans, and I think we all like that I'll fly away business. That was good. So I appreciate I like the clapping. You guys like the clapping? I like the clapping. Yeah. Amen. So we need more of that. All right. Well, let's make it happen. So praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, and we'll be back in the book of Romans chapter 1 as we start. If you don't have a Bible, grab one from the seat rack in front of you and be turning to page 866. A couple weeks ago, we started just talking about vision. We looked back on 2017. I know the weather was cold. Some of you might not have been here. We had that 8-minute video with a couple different songs, and we had a flashback. We talked about some of the things God did last year, quite a bit of things that God did last year. And then last week, we took some time and contrasted what we saw with what we were looking at going forward. And we noticed the difference between what we see, which is not always what is true, and what God's Word says. And I'm going to finish up talking about that this morning. And I spoke to you about the burden of the Word of God upon two men in particular, the Apostle Paul and the prophet Habakkuk. And in Paul's dissertation on justification of faith, which is the book of Romans, he quotes directly from Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, which we're going to be looking at here in just a little bit, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, which we're going to look at here in just a moment as well. And so there's a difference between these two men, and that is this. One needed vision, one needed to see what was going on, and the other knew what was going on. He had already seen it. And so he had vision. The Apostle Paul had the vision. He knew what it was that God was doing. He knew why God saved him, and he knew what he was supposed to be doing. Sometimes we need vision, and other times we need to respond in a responsible way to the vision that God has given us. And so having said that, we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Again, I'm going to reread what we saw last week and pick up from here, and then we'll go forward. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, I am a debtor. Verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. And then here's the verse that comes from Habakkuk. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And then this portion here, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And it's a very popular passage, and most of us have heard that. Let's go to the Lord as we consider the words this morning. Heavenly Father, we have read your word this morning. We've looked at it, and we've considered it already. And I pray, God, that you would continue to give us insights, Lord, on how to handle the word of God, to rightly divide, rightly apply it in our life, how to pick up what you show us and go forward in faith. Lord, we know the just shall live by faith. We thank you for the faith of Jesus Christ, Lord, that has been faithful. He is faithful. He is true. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He is alive right now, and he indwells every one of us that are believers in Christ. I pray a quickening to the reading, the hearing, and the preaching, and the application, and the living out of the Word of God this morning. May we be like Paul and give all that we have for all that you've given. Lord, we thank you and praise you for giving us all your Son, the Lord Jesus, for our salvation, for our sanctification, for our glorification. And we look forward to that day when we fly away. In the meantime, Lord, give us clarity. Lord, give us an ability to believe you, to carry the burden forward, the burden of the vision of the word of the Lord. We pray, God, that you would bless that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we review just a little bit of where we've been, I know some of you might be catching up. Sometimes we need a little refresher. So as we started here last week, we saw some points regarding the Apostle Paul as he understood the cost in verses 14 and 15 of this text. We covered that last week. He was willing to give his life, and he was still a debtor, right? He could never pay back to the Lord what God had done for him, and he was all about getting the gospel where it needed to go on time. And he was a debtor both to the Jews and the Greeks, to the barbarians. And so he was all about getting the word of God to those people. He was a debtor to them, he said. And in verses 15 and 16, he mentioned that he understood the scope of God's vision was to all people, not just to Israel, right? To the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the unwise, to the wise, to the Jew, to the Greek. And in verse 17, Paul understood the means by which God's revelation was to be given, the transformation and transmission. It was revealed and relayed from faith to faith. God gave it to us by faith, and it is relayed by faith. That's why we build upon our faith. And we grow from faith to faith. And that's what we're doing both as individuals and even as a church and even in our initiatives to accomplish God's mission strategically, supernaturally, and simultaneously. Acts chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8 there. We are doing that by faith. It's not in our own provision. It's in the provision of God. So we looked then last week in Habakkuk chapter 1. And if you have your Bible, turn back to Habakkuk chapter 1. And you'll notice in Habakkuk chapter 1, and if you haven't bookmarked that, that's page 716 in our HBF Bibles. In an Oxford-wide margin, it's page 1136 in the Minor Prophets. And so if you're looking for that, you go past Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and then you'll be finding your way to Habakkuk. And so Habakkuk, in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, who names their kid Habakkuk? I don't know. But someone's mother called him Habakkuk. So he see, in verses 1 and 2, Habakkuk says, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. This was a burden. And then he says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of the violence, and thou wilt not save? He was seeing the demise of his people and their and the promises. I mean, frankly, the things that he thought that were supposed to be there were just eroding right around him. I mean, how can the temple go away? How can Nebuchadnezzar conquer? How can this happen? Because I know what the Bible says. I know what's been going on. And yes, I know we're sinners, and I know we deserve this, but man, God, how are you going to fulfill this? And of course, we ended last week with the answer to that. But before I share that again, just to remind you, Habakkuk needed God's vision to process what he saw taking place around him. Right? He needed a word from God. He saw some things that were so troubling that he needed a fresh word from God. And Habakkuk needed to replace what he saw with what he knew to be true. He needed to replace what he saw going on around him, which was absolutely going on around him. It wasn't a figment of his imagination. But there was even a bigger truth that was happening, and that was that God is large. And he's in charge, right? And he knows what's nothing's sneaking up on God. And God was allowing it. And God was also the one that would provide the way. And of course, that's not only something that the prophet Habakkuk dealt with. If you go through the Old Testament and you look at Jeremiah, right? You look at Daniel, all the men of vision, all the men that were prophets struggled with saying, okay, God, I know what the end is, but how's this working out now? And of course, it was through that tension that they had that God would give them greater vision and help them see even more clearly what not only was he going to do in their particular lifetime, but in generations to come. And that's how even to this day the prophecies have been fulfilled in our New Testament. And for those of you that want to learn more about that, I'll just a little advertisement. Come on Wednesday night or Sunday night, but Wednesday night, and we'll be talking about the book of Revelation, which is the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, who was given that information many, many centuries before Christ even came to the earth. So Habakkuk needed to replace what he saw with what he knew to be true. And then he saw the end of the story, right? He saw in chapter 3 the end of the story. And we talked about how could we get a hold of that vision? Well, it's so important that we get a hold of God's word. And that's actually at the end of Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 19. He says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on the stringed instruments. I mean, he is fired up and he is praising God. Why? Because God changed his outlook. He was able to get with God, and in spite of everything that was going on, he realized, you know what? Jesus will perform the victory. And if you go back and read from verses 17 through 19, or just read the whole thing, read the whole book, it's three chapters, it's not much, you'll find out that he sees that Jesus Christ promises to fulfill his word, right? The Lord Jehovah will fulfill his word, just as he said. And that's exactly what he did. So you just have to see it, then you got to believe it. And then like Habakkuk, we should proclaim it. And that brings us back around to Romans 1:16 and 17, which we just read this morning. Right, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So there's this burden of the word, the burden of what we see, but there's also the blessing, right, of the vision, the blessing of the vision. And so the blessing of what we do with what we see, the blessing of what we do with what we see, the blessing of practical application. Man, isn't that good? It's not just theory. This affected Habakkuk's life, having vision. And you know what? It should affect our life. Having God's word and having a clear vision of what God would have for us to do affects our life. And that means different things to different ones of us, because we're all in different places in our walk with the Lord. Perhaps today, God is revealing your need to be saved. You need to act on that. There's something that God is calling you to do, and that's place your faith in Christ and Him alone for your salvation. To let go of every other mechanism, every other thing that you would be trusting for your salvation, and acknowledge that Jesus Christ alone is the one who died for your sins and paid your price for sin on the cross. And your righteousness is filthy rags. It doesn't measure up. So you come to Him by faith alone, and He'll save you. That's the next step in your life if you're not saved this morning. But if you are saved, then there's different things God's calling you to do. Some need to be obedient in believer's baptism. Others need to really take the opportunity to be discipled very seriously and sit down with somebody and let the Word of God dwell in you richly and learn the basics of the Word of God, or equip yourself so that you can teach others also. And so that is very important. Identifying with the Lord in baptism, learning His Word, maybe involving yourself in the work of ministry and actually getting involved in serving the Lord in some way. Perhaps it's setting some things in your private life in order so that these things can be set in order. Right? There's absolute steps that God will have you to take when you start to see your life through the prism of God's Word. And there's blessings to that. That's a blessing because you can do something with what you're learning. And Heartland is a church where we want you to do something with what you're learning. Not for our sake, it's like collectively, though it is a collective blessing, but for Christ's sake, because we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, standing before Him, giving an account for the things that we've done in the body, whether it be good or bad. And yes, that is about what we've done in these carcasses, because each of you, if you're saved, have the Spirit of God in you. But it's also this collective body. We are the body of Christ, right? And God has entrusted us with His Word. He's given each of us, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit. And then He has given us this great mission to accomplish. He's given us the Word of God, the Spirit of God, so we can accomplish God's mission in His power. Now, we've talked about that already, so I don't want to go too far afoot. So there's a blessing, a practical application. And the prophecy Habakkuk gives us in that prophecy that he gave us, it gives us an understanding of how to practically apply the vision. And I just would have you look to verse 4 in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's just look at all verse 4 verses here together. And I'm going to pause on verse 4. He says this, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Because he pours his heart out to God. We saw that last week, right? And he's just kind of like, okay, God, just let me have it, you know? And the Lord answered. This is the answer. And he said unto me, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And we know now as we read the book of Revelation, what's the Lord say? Right? Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. The words that Habakkuk, the things Habakkuk were seeing were things that are yet to come to pass. And yet Habakkuk sees himself brought into that story. He sees himself brought into the victory, just as you and I should. And then he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, right? Look at verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not right in him. Now, in a very practical way, we can apply that to our lives, right? We don't need to lift up our souls, lift up ourselves in pride, right? And then he says, but the just shall live by his faith. And it's very subtle. Perhaps you didn't catch it just reading over that. But really, he's talking about a contrast between two men. There's a man of pride who lifts up himself in the last days, and we very clearly know what that is today because we understand what the abomination of desolation is spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And if you need to catch up on that again, I'll just refer you to our Wednesday night Bible study. And so we know there is an Antichrist coming, right? Habakkuk was seeing that. There's also one, and notice the text, but the just shall live by his faith. Whose faith? Well, it's the subject matter of chapter 3. It is the coming Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's looking forward, right? He sees two men. One is one that would exalt himself, and another one is a man who justifies, right? And it says that the just, those that are justified, will live by his faith. Now, there's something missing in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul does not say that. He doesn't say the just shall live by his faith. He says the just shall live by faith. Well, we have a problem. No, we really don't. But there's those distinctions there. And when you see those distinctions, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, take a look at this. What is going on? Why is there a difference between what you see? And it's just one word, but we believe in this church, every word is important. And the more you study God's Word, the more you will find that every word of God is important to what we're studying. And so And so the parallel passage in Habakkuk 2:4 gives us clues to what we need to do. And it also helps us when we see this paradigm between these two verses. So scholars go crazy trying to figure out why Paul omitted his in Romans 1:17. But for those of us that study the Word of God, it should be fairly obvious. You see, in Habakkuk, God was refreshing, right, the vision of Habakkuk on the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. Right, God made a promise all the way back in Genesis 3:15. He says, "Hey, I'm going to bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." His heel happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And that prophecy is being fulfilled. And Habakkuk sees this, and he's talking about his faith. Now he's pointing back to that one man, Christ Jesus, who shall bring the solution to the one man who would exalt himself against God. Now, from a historical context, if you were Habakkuk, who would the man of sin look like to you? It would look like a lot like Nebuchadnezzar. He's one of the greatest types of Antichrist in the whole Bible, right? I mean, it's an incredible type. And so he's looking at it in his context, just like if you lived in 1940, who's one of the greatest types of Antichrist of the last century? Hitler, right? You don't even have to pray about that one, right? He was very Antichrist, killing God's people, everything, setting us up even, God using him as an instrument to set us up for the coming pending tribulation period and all that's going to happen. I mean, God used that rascal. And so, even though he was a rascal. And so we see that Nebuchadnezzar was this huge figure in the life of Habakkuk. But you know, God has completed his word, and he's speaking not just about Nebuchadnezzar, or in the case of the Apostle Paul, who also would eventually stand before an Antichrist of his day, Nero, and stand there and speak to these men face to face. Right, but he's referring really to the man of sin who has in the past and will again historically continue to challenge the Lord Jesus Christ and his authority as God. And see, the bigger battle that we all face, it's no different for Habakkuk than it was for Paul, than it is for you and me today, than it will be in the coming tribulation period. We are facing off in a great cosmic conflict. And so when we come together on Sunday and we get together and we sing, "I'll fly away," we ain't just kidding. We will fly away, but we haven't flown away yet. And so we're rallying around the call of God to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God, because the battle's still on. And so we got to have clear vision so we know what to do. You see, there's two dispensations, the difference between Moses' dispensation and the law, the dim glass that Habakkuk was looking through and seeing. Yes, the man of faith will come. I will ride upon the mountains. Habakkuk 3:19. Man, in spite of what Israel doesn't do, God's still going to fulfill his word. And he is fired up about that, as I am too. But then Paul, he says, "The just shall live by faith." You see, Paul was in a different, what we call dispensation. God dispenses his grace differently over time. And the difference was, Habakkuk was looking forward to Christ. The Apostle Paul had Christ, right? And I, and you, we, if you're born again this morning, have Christ. You are justified by faith in Christ. It's the faith of Christ. He saved us. So if you're saved this morning, you possess the victory. You have it. Habakkuk's looking forward to the victory. Paul is working from a position of having the victory. When you have Christ, you have victory. And beloved, there's something special about being in the church. And boy, what a great time it is to live in these days in which we live, where we have victory. The just shall live by faith. The time for us to live valiantly. The time for us to mount up with wings of eagles, right? The time for us to get out the sword, though we will do that in the tribulation as we go forth in the second coming, Revelation 19. But the time for us to be productive, and I might even add reproductive, is today. Today is the day to reproduce the image of Christ in others. We don't get another opportunity. Today is the day. If you're born again, this is the only opportunity. Wherever you find yourself in God's call after you're saved, in your process of sanctification, this is the day that you have. This is the time, the moment that you have in eternity to reproduce spiritually. This is the time to seize hold of the victory of Christ, to take hold of the Word of God that He has already given you, that is fully given to us. The whole counsel of God is given to us, delivered to us. We aren't looking through a glass dimly. We've got the whole enchilada right here. We see clearly. And now we need to take that and with the blessings of God, the blessings of having that vision, and take that with be responsible with that and invest it in every soul that we can find. Because, man, it's a huge thing that God has given us. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. And He's given us His church. Man, there's nothing to stop us but us. Man, contained in our gospel is the power to obliterate the power of darkness through faith in Christ. And that's what Paul's saying. He goes, you know, as much as in me is, there's a lot in Paul because Christ is in him. I'm ready to preach the gospel wherever you call. I'm going to come to Rome. I'm going to preach the gospel. I mean, no matter what, he ended up in Rome, all right, in prison. But the power of God was not bound. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and the church is the church of the living God does not need gimmicks to win people. What we really need to win people to Christ is this, the power of God. And Christ has given us that through the good news of the gospel. It's dynamic. It's explosive. And so in Matthew 28:18, you know what Jesus said. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Right? I've got the power. And then he turns right around and he hands it off to his disciples. And now he says, you got the power. Go ye therefore. Teach all nations. When you got Jesus, you got the power. I can just hear CNC Music Factory right now. So in 2018, what plans are you making to get the gospel where you know it needs to go? What is your plan? What are you doing with that? I mean, what are you doing this year in 2018? What's on your calendar as an individual, as a family, in your ministry, if you're a ministry leader? What are you doing to actively go, oh, okay, wow, man, yeah, I'm in the ball game. Do you know you're in the ball? Do you know this is a battle? Do you know you're in it? Do you know you have a position? Do you know you have a place? If not, man, maybe you need to back up and get educated a little bit. Get sober-minded and learn. You know why? I need to replace my thoughts with these thoughts. I need to get a little bit more tuned into the Word of God so I can actually fulfill that which God has saved me to fulfill. You know, are you planning just practical things? How about taking it to the streets or being part of intentional witnessing to people at work? We need to fill up our gospel track thing out here in the foyer so we can get more tracks out. Are you going to take advantage of our evangelism training in the fall? Right, those are practical steps you can say, you know, I'm going to do that. Are you going to get discipled? Are you going to disciple someone else? Are you going to start working with the people in your ministry, being more intentional about developing them in the Word? Maybe you're going to join one of those texting groups that's, you know, sharing the Word of God every day. All that stuff's good. All that's intentional. All that's the kind of stuff we need to be doing on an individual basis. But the power of the prophecy, what it does is it makes our path simple to see. There was no conclusion, no cloudiness at the end of Habakkuk. And he is like, whew, I see it. I get it. It's simple. It's not complex. It's not crazy. People's like, oh, you got a 49-year plan. Don't worry about that. That's simple. It's only simple because God does works in sevens. It's not that big of a deal. But yeah, God's taken us somewhere. Is he taking you somewhere? Yeah, he's taking you somewhere. Ultimately, he's taking you to heaven. So start there and back into it. And get ready for that day when you get to the judgment seat of Christ. Start now. Because you are, if you're born again, you are just. You are justified. But some of us live like Lot, right? So you're living like hell and Sodom, and you don't even believe judgment's coming. You need some angels to show up, not rap on your door and say, hey, man, get out of Sodom. Some of you might need to make that decision this morning. Give up on out of Sodom and get into church. Get where you need to be so you can be who God saved you to be. So Habakkuk and Paul both give us keys to victorious vision. Choose who you will follow. It's that simple. I can boil it down. There's two men listed in verse 4 of Habakkuk 2, right? There's one that exalts himself, and there's one who is the man of faith. It's Christ Jesus. And I tell you guys, it's that simple. Who are you going to follow? It seems too simple, but you know what? It is that simple. All the false religions of the world would have you follow all kinds of deities, right? All kinds of other paths. But it is as simple as following the Lord Jesus Christ or following the devil. And any other path that is not Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, is laid forth, set forth, or will be used by the devil. You say, well, Brian, I don't believe in the devil. Well, that's your first problem. Because you won't believe in Christ. I used to be that guy, right? Well, I don't believe in all that stuff. Yeah, and then I had more faith in the devil than I did in Jesus. That kind of messed with me. Because you don't have to take very many steps in this world. You run right into evil. And one of the places you're going to confront it's in your own heart. There's a devil, all right, and you're under his spell. And Christ comes forth with the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he busts that thing wide open, man. He says, no, you do not have to be in bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil. You are free through the Lord Jesus Christ. His shed blood is enough. Well, that's too simple. No, it isn't too simple. It is the way, the truth, and the life. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's an issue of, will you actually yield your will to his? Will you follow that man, the man Christ Jesus? Or will you deny him? Will you deny him and face eternal damnation? That's the real issue. Once you make that decision, man, the blessing of God's revelation, whoo, it's easy to apply. The revelation of Christ through the gospel makes your planning pretty simple. And so you should simply, we just simply need to follow the patterns. Let me give you some examples, because if you're like me, you like pictures, right? I like pictures. It's easier to understand pictures. So you got pictures of people who did this in the Old Testament. If you want a more lengthy example, just turn to Hebrews 11 today and this afternoon and go through and read the Hall of Fame of Faith. But just some examples would be like Joshua, right? He just said, you know what? I'm going to follow God's pattern. I'm going to follow God's... He made a decision. And he didn't make it just once, did he? He made it over and over and over again throughout his life. That, you know what? I'm going to follow Moses. I'm going to follow the man that God put in my life, Moses. And he followed Moses. And then one day God said, okay, Moses is out. Joshua, you're in charge. And so Joshua followed the Lord. And he followed the Lord. And he did what he was supposed to do. And he accomplished that. And at the end of his days, in Joshua 24:15, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods, small g, the multiple paths which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? The one God, the true God. He says, as for me and my house, that's where we're going to go. So men, it's a decision. It's just that simple. You're either leading your home or you're not. And that's why I was talking to you, man, last week. I mean, really, no offense to the ladies here, because not at all. But really, we've got it, men. You've got to be men. We cannot, I mean, come on, isn't the church mamsy-pansy enough? I mean, come on, man, let's not get light in the loafers here. Let's stand up and do what we're supposed to do. What are we supposed to do, Brian? Well, let me say it one more time. Follow Jesus! Follow Jesus, that's what we do. I don't mean half-heartedly. I don't mean jacking around and messing around as a side thing. I'm talking about, hey, give him your heart! Follow Jesus because, like your family depends upon it. Like the world will go into hell if we don't do the job that God calls us to do. Good night. Jesus deserves all that we are, all that we have, because he's worthy. I'm talking to you men. I know that's a little tough on the ladies. Ladies, just stand by your man. Oh, man. How are we doing with that? I mean, practically, are you leading from the front? Fathers, grandfathers, uncles, right? You're an influence in your family. Are you leading from the front? Or are you like saying, hey, no, I'm going in. Follow me, like Jesus called his disciples. Are you taking time for holy huddles, talking about the Word of God, putting the Word of God first, putting Jesus first on the platter of your family's life? Man, that's where it's got to start. Don't be some hypocrite, run off to church doing ministry and then never do it at home. Man, that's a problem. And vice versa. Man, some of y'all need to say, listen, I'm following Jesus and I can't serve. I'm not here to serve the family. The family is here to serve Jesus. Now, that's going to counterculture. I'm sorry, James Dobson. But the point is this. Yes, we got to be going somewhere with Christ. And so that means some wives, right, are going to need to get on board. And submit to their husbands and do what God's helped them and not try to lead the husband by the nose, but let him take his spot. Some of you men, you're like, oh, I'm just going to lead from the rear. You know, pushing. Oh, trying to get this thing going. Oh, it's hard, isn't it? I'll tell you what, at least you're doing something. Some families need to work that out, is what I'm saying, right? Because we know from Ephesians chapter 5, it's not about this guy here and this lady here, and it's about serving together, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, right? It's about both parties in the family being underneath the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding how to best utilize their role to maximize the gospel to their family, to their children, to the ministry, to the world around them. And then some are just absent. And that's the culture we live in. You know what happens when someone's absent? The father or the mother? It's empty. Why don't our words have meaning? Because it's empty. Because there's absence. There's nothing. It's sad. Sad to see. Now I'm not talking about y'all, am I? I hope not. I'm not meaning to. I'm not stepping on anyone's toes. That's not my job. I'm serious. I'm praying right now that everyone under the sound of my voice understands that, hey, we're to be on mission. Right? We're to be in our roles. We need to be where we need to be. Why? Because we really have an adversary who wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your grandkids. He doesn't care about your family. And he wants to stop the mission of God. And sometimes people don't really recognize the fact, well, he can't be talking about me because, you know, I'm not in the limelight. I'm talking to you, whoever you may be, if you're born again. And now there's situations, right, that come along. They're not ideal because you know you're in a real battle. So don't be discouraged by that. Be encouraged. Because despite that, despite what you see, despite the things you're like, man, Brian, our family's not perfect. Well, guess what? Neither is mine. And in spite of that, God uses us. Right? It's faith to faith. It's grace. The just shall live by faith. But we got to be intentional, right, about staying on track. So let me give you a test. This is a one-question test. If you're born again this morning, who are you supposed to follow? Jesus, right. And if you can't really do that effectively, find someone who is following Jesus and follow them until you can follow Jesus. It's really that simple. And make that happen in your life. Some of you got to decide to follow Christ. I mean, for the first time. Matthew 11:28. I'm getting ahead of myself. One of the things also that we need to do is we need to invest. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We're called to invest the word of God into faithful people. I would encourage all of us this year to be intentional about surrounding ourselves with faithfulness. Right? We're talking about faith to faith, but you need to be around people who are faithful. You spend enough time in Sodom, guess what? You're going to be like Sodom. You spend enough time around unfaithfulness, guess what you're going to be? Unfaithful. Right? You need to be around faithfulness. 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 That's what Paul says. He's like, hey, let's invest the word of God into faithful men. He didn't say, hey, let's go find some Cretans that aren't doing God's will and spend a lot of time investing the true riches of God's word in them. No, he didn't say that. He says, let's find people who are in. Let's find people who will follow Christ. What? Yeah, I mean, guys, in the culture we live in, there's got to be people that actually make decisions and actually go forward and say, yeah, we're going to do this. How about y'all this morning? I know as a church, that's where we're going. That's where I'm going. Let's follow Christ. Let's make that decision. And then thereby, let's invest the word of God into faithful men and women and children, right, who are able to teach others also. That's the mission. It's that simple. And guess what? We've got the power. And so praise the Lord. Now, God's calling some of us. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right? God is calling us. Some are just burdened down today, and they just need to come to Christ and say, Lord, just take my burden and let go of your burden that isn't the word of the Lord and write down the burden that is the word of the Lord and replace burdens. Because he wants to put our lives in order. And for those of us that are saved and we want to be in God's will and do what God's calling us to do. You know, Paul told the Corinthians, he said twice, he says, wherefore I beseech you be followers of me in 1 Corinthians 4:16. He also said, be ye followers of me even as I am of Christ. And we're always quick to point out, right, that we don't follow men, we follow Christ. But there are times in your life where you need examples. I guarantee y'all, I would not be where I am today if Earl Cross would not have sat me down at his kitchen table after I got saved and started giving me basic Bible information from very similar looking discipleship lessons that we have here today. But it wasn't just Earl Cross, it was the others as I was in ministry. It was Brad Francis. It was Herb Newton. It was a bevy of faithful men. And most of those men are still faithful to this day. And you know what? They invested the Word of God here and there and here and there. And finally, I thought, oh, you know the man who led me to Christ and discipled me, my primary influence? He's not at all like me in the way God uses him in the body of Christ. You'd find him as an usher. You'd find him as a greeter. You'd find him passing a plate. You'd find him out digging a hole somewhere, building something. And that's the kind of guy God made him to be. But you know what? I don't have to disciple someone and they have to turn into the next preacher. They just need to turn into the next faithful man. A man full of faith that will follow Christ and do what God tells him to do. If it's dig ditches for Jesus, dig ditches for Jesus. That's what you need to do. But do it faithfully for Christ and reproduce Christ in other people. The goal of a good discipler is not to have people follow them forever, but to follow you until you can follow Christ on your own and teach others also so that they can follow Christ. That's the goal. A couple weeks ago, we had our annual post-Christmas kind of vision dinner where the pastors, the deacons, the board, the staff all get together. And man, it was beautiful just to see different families from this church that have actually grown up and gone. Whether it's, you know, the Pierces and KCK or others that are serving in foreign fields, or Bob going over to Cleveland, or Brad down in Clinton, and just listening to the testimonies, I'm like, man, that's awesome. Isn't that neat, grandparents, great-grandparents, when you see the kids grow up? I like to hear Joe Sparks. She says, you know, I think more of my kids every day. I think more of my grandkids every day. That's beautiful. That's what we should be saying as disciples. As we see people grow in Christ and we've seen Christ invested in them. So let's look at your life. Is your life about that? About people's lives that you can see actually change because you've invested your life in them with the Word of God and their life has actually changed? And then now they're reproducing others also. Now, there's some time, right? Just like in physical life, the time for reproduction is not right away. You don't come out of the womb reproducing kids. There's a time of growth. Maybe this year, some of you need to take some time and say, wow, this church is about me growing up in the Lord, learning more about who He is, not just knowledge, but really in how I live my life. So take advantage of the invest and the Iron Forge and the other studies and things that are here and the Word of God that is being put forth so that you can mature to the place, follow some people in discipleship, follow some people in ministry so you can learn how to invest. Now, if you're in ministry and you're a leader, you need to have your A game going. I do have the sense sometimes that we get a little lethargic, we get a little lax, we get a little slack. Hey, this is no time to be lax. This is no time to be slack. This is a time to really make sure we're getting up in the morning and we're doing our devotions with the Lord. This is a time where we're making sure that we recognize, you know, people are actually looking to us to take the next biblical step and follow the Lord by faith. And if we fail in faith, guess what? Others will also fail. And if we fail enough, God will take them somewhere else. And so this is a thing where we have to be realistic about the battle that we're in. This is no time to mess around. And I know, even when I say that, you know, I know this is not the church for everybody. I'm not mad at you. I'm okay with that. This is a church that wants to do God's will and follow it. It's like, man, Brian, you're a little too intense. I know I am intense. I wish I wasn't, but I can't help it. I'm just kind of that way. But we can jaw jack and have fun later. All right, we have eternity to do that. So the goal of a good discipler is to do that. And we need to do that in ministry. We need to do that in everything that we're doing. And there's nothing more incredible than seeing fruit not only be produced, but being reproduced. And so it doesn't matter where God stations you. You are to have a vision of how you're to follow the man Christ Jesus and impart that written vision from God's word to them. And you know why you should do that? Because you're a victor. You are already a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror, the Bible says. There's really no excuses. And so the burden then is the blessing. There's the burden of vision, the burden of what we see, and then there's that blessing of vision, the blessing of what we do with what we see. So let me wrap this up with some results of the vision. The results of seeing and believing God's vision for your life. We see that Habakkuk we see from Habakkuk that having God's vision didn't change God's judgment on Israel one bit. It doesn't mean the world's going to change overnight. Oh, I've got a hold of the Word of God. I got a hold of God's vision. So now the birds are going to chirp and the sun's going to come out and America will be great again. Well, I hope America's great again. Praise the Lord. But at the end of the day, what if it's not? Then what? Do you have a plan for that? Guess what? God already has it. And you're victorious. You don't let that stuff dissuade you. You don't worry about if it's cloudy or if it's sunny. You don't worry about if it's rainy or it's cold. Why? Because you're like Habakkuk, man. You're like Paul. You're working from a place of victory because you've got the biblical vision. You know your day's coming. It's called the day of the Lord. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. It's called eternity with Him. And so when you understand how to rightly divide God's Word, you'll have your outlook on life restored just as your soul has been. We see from Habakkuk that God's vision didn't change God's judgment on Israel, but it did change Habakkuk's outlook on life. He just saw things differently. And that's why in this age, remember what I said in Habakkuk? Now you go back and read chapter 2 and verse 4, and it talks about exalting, right? And it says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up in him is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." You know what we can do? We can get ourselves in the way and mess up what God's doing all the time. That's what Peter warned in 1 Peter 5, right? Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, and he, right, the just one, will exalt you in due time. It's not up to you to worry about that. Your job, my job, is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the powerful hand of God. Jesus Christ is the right hand of the Father. He's all authority, all power. It's been given unto him, and he has extended that to you. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, because you have been justified by faith. You are free to serve. Paul was free when he wrote to the Romans from Corinth, but he was actually getting ready to begin a journey to Jerusalem, which would cost him his freedom. And like Israel, he was about to be placed in captivity. And Paul, as far as we know, died in Rome as a martyr. At the time of his death, the churches were being persecuted. The Judaizers were running all over preaching bad doctrine and, trying to persuade them back into a works-based salvation. And you know what? Paul dies. If you read 2 Timothy all of 2 Timothy, the book, but you get down to the end of that thing, and Paul is on victory lane. He says, hey, there's a crown laid up for me. I'm ready to depart. I am ready to go. Why? Because he had fulfilled that which God had put him there to do. And he knew that Jesus Christ would build his church and the gates of hell, including Nero, would not prevent that. No matter how dark it looked in front of him, Paul had a brighter light, and that light was the promises of God's word. And so having biblical vision may not change your circumstances. So I'm not selling you. I'm not Joel Osteen up here. I'm not selling you your best life now. You can determine to follow Christ with your whole heart and set your life in order. And you know what? Look out, baby. Here come the storms. But if God brings you to it, I promise you, he will get you through it. And you will be an example of the believers, not only in word, but in deed. And there will be fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. And at the end of the day, that is what you're looking for. But you got to do that by faith. Because sometimes the payoff does not seem to be immediate. You got to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So obedience is the key to living the vision, isn't it? You actually got to do what God called you to do. Knowing how the story ends is not enough. You must take up the steps and follow Jesus so you don't follow Satan. Refusing to choose is, by the way, a choice. So be careful, because the choices you make not only impact your life, but they impact your family. Because no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself, Romans 14:7 says. You remember the old hymn we used to sing? I have decided to follow Jesus. Sometimes we need to make that decision. So let me give you some practical steps here. You need to, first of all, just submit. Submit to the structure that God has you. And if you don't have a husband, hey, and you're a single mom or in that situation, the church exists to help you. We are here to help you so that we can fill that gap, so you can discern how to follow Jesus. Allow us to help you through the ministry of this local church to find God's will and God's way. Refusing to follow God's will ultimately get you the same judgment as Satan. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So kids, listen to me. When you decide, well, you know, I don't really want to submit to my parents, you're making an awful bad decision. When children of God decide, you know what, I don't want to really submit to the Word of God anymore. I'm just going to do my own thing. And that happens, unfortunately, even in the church. We see people just thumb their nose at God's Word and just walk away. Well, man, I tell you what, guys, that brings negative results in your life because you're being disobedient. And it's not that God has to chasten you. It's that there is a world, the flesh, and the devil just waiting for you to make that bad decision. And if you won't follow God, guess what? They'll have their way with you. It may seem sweet for a moment, but it won't take long, and that root will get bitter. And then be like Noah, who was obedient, right? He built an ark to the saving of his house, even though it had never rained. He was a good example. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Abraham's another example. He was obedient, right? He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Hebrews 11:10 says, "And though he didn't see it while he walked this earth, right, while he was in this world, he walked by faith, not by sight, because he could see that God would bring forth the seed and that would fulfill the victory." Joseph believed the vision and maintained his integrity from the pit to Potiphar's house, right? From the prison to being a prince of Egypt. And yet when he died, he says, "Don't let my bones be buried here. Take those babies back to Israel, to the promised land. Bury them there." Why? Because God's word is true, even though we don't see it right now. And it was over 400 years before that happened. But yet, you know what? They faithfully buried his bones there. Hebrews 11:22, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Joshua and Caleb, they believed in the vision of victory despite seeing the giants in the land in Numbers 13. Their carcasses didn't fall in the wilderness. They did inherit the promised land, and they went ahead, though the other 10 spies died in the wilderness. They crossed that river Jordan, and they saw the victory. And at the end of all of that, what did Joshua say? As everybody else was getting comfortable in the victory, he said, "Hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you can choose faithlessness, but why would you? Why would you do that? Do you want to end up like the world, destroyed by the flood of Noah? We cannot stop, nor would we want to stop Jesus from judging Satan in the coming tribulation. But we can order our lives by faith to get as many people the gospel as we can and get them on the boat to eternal life while there's an opportunity, because God didn't die just for some. He died for all. He died for all. Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ's finished work alone is enough to keep you from perishing. So will you follow a man? And which man will you follow? Because there's only two. There's the God-man, and there's Satan's man. You say, "Well, I'm not influenced by Satan's man." Oh, so you think. You're influenced by one or the other. That's the way it works in life. Who are you following right now? Who are the people that you're following? Are they following Christ? It's like you tell a parent, you want to see how your kids are doing, look at their friends. When even we even use the same technology today in social media, right? Who are you following? You follow these people? Well, who are we following? That's a good question. Who are you following? I haven't found Jesus on my phone yet. I'm not following on Facebook or Twitter. There's only one place you're going to find Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, beloved, he's going to be found right here. Follow him right here. All right, so I got to put a conclusion to this because I'm surely out of time. Let's see. What time is it? I'm okay. I should be done right now. my little clock, is it zero? It isn't working today, is it? Okay. Those are excuses, right? All right, so in our text in Romans 1:16-17, it won't take me long. I just want to wrap this up because our this year is faith to faith. That's where we're going, from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. The vision of HBF is as broad or as narrow as our obedience to God's vision. The burden, the blessing, and the results are really in our hands and how we respond to God's call upon our life. From salvation to whatever place you are in sanctification and in our preparation for our glorification, which is nigh. And so you don't live in a vacuum. you can get up and leave and say, that wasn't for me, but it's for you. It is for you because it's God's word. It's for all of us. And so God wants us to participate. Knowing there's a judgment coming on the world and even seeing it as those that are even today reaping the repercussions of not following Christ, man, we should be getting the gospel out, making sure people are covered in the blood, ordering in our life in a way that we can say that today we're following Christ. Can you just start there? Are you following Christ? Because you need to. I think there's different types of folks here. Some of you are fully vested and engaged. You just need a reminder, right, a refreshment, and maybe some encouragement, some camaraderie so that we can all go together, lock arms, and go forward for Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. Maybe you need to get your finances in order or your time in order. Or maybe you have some integrity issues you need to get straightened out. Get those things done. You can manage that yourself. You don't need my help. You don't need anyone else's help. Just get it done. Make sure you're spending the time with the Lord that you need to. Get yourself in order, right? And so involve yourself where you need to be involved in. And praise God for what He's giving you. Some of you are dead in trespass and sins. And the only vision you need right now is to be saved. You need to be born again. Some of you are babes in Christ. And you need to spend time with a big brother or big sister, learning what God's Word says and what that is in your life and what are the next steps that God has for you so you can follow Him in obedience. Start with church attendance. That's a good place to start. Order your life there. And discipleship. And then some of these other meetings, if you've got time, and Iron Forge and Invest Women's Study, things that will help your soul grow and get fellowship. Get yourself in an adult Bible fellowship at 9 o'clock. And some of you are full age, but you just don't want a war for some reason. Maybe you've checked out on the mission. Maybe they're not even in the building anymore. There's the fellowship, the biblical structure is no longer getting it for them, and they just check out. Anybody know folks like that? They just kind of wander off. AWOL. Maybe you've been scared by the giants that are in the land. I've seen that happen before. You've been routed by the adversary because you struck out on your own. God said, don't go, and you went anyway. You got spanked. That's no reason to leave. You know what you need to do? You need to stand. You need to get refreshed. You need to go forward in faith. Maybe you've just grown disillusioned or discouraged. Maybe God's teaching you to get your eyes off of men and get your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not alone, right? The disciples did that. Peter, Thomas, right? What did Thomas, God used the Word of God in the local church to get him back on track. Maybe you just need to plug back into the Word of God and to fellowship with the local church. And man, you'll be amazed how that will bring you back into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just doing those simple things. Some of you, you're maybe worn out. And you need to reprioritize your life so you can get some refreshment from the battles. It's not that you haven't been battling. It's that you're so battle weary that you're worn out. Some of you need to take a rest. I mean, to your soul. And you need to make sure that your life is in order and you're giving time to the Lord. You're giving time to your family and giving time at church in a balanced way so that you don't burn out. And you need to run that race and finish that course. Some of you, you've warred a good warfare and you're in that season of life that you're going to soon be cheering us on from Hebrews 11. You're going to be in that great banister of heaven, man, looking down saying, go, 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 a great cloud of witnesses. Praise the Lord. And I can't say enough about you. I thank all of you that are examples of the believers in word and deed. And frankly, we don't know when our last day is. And so this is the reality. We need to go forward in faith. Take advantage of the tools that are here at HBF. If you're a member or regular attender, if you've been here, I sent out an email a couple weeks ago. How many got the email about vision and a big, long document? Our email's been kind of messed up. So some of you got it. If you didn't, you can go online. There's a thing called Biblical Vision. You can hit it. And I put the document there just because I anticipated that. And I got real homework for you. There's a little outline in there. It's not that little. It's kind of long. But you can look at it. And at the end, an example of my own life, just how to order up your own life. And you can just hear me talk about that today and then go about your way. Or you can actually go to that website or open up that email. And you can actually read that document. And I will give you detailed instructions how you can order up your life. That you can set your life in order and then come up with a plan for you and your family. If you don't have a husband, that's okay. And if you need help, talk to your adult Bible fellowship pastor. They'll help you out with that. I'm going to commit them to that. And they will help you figure out how to order your life so that you can get the maximum impact out of your life. Because that's what we want to help you here. We're not here to just preach at you. We're here to take you by the hand and say, look, if you need to order your life, if you need to order your steps, we're not the gurus on everything, but God is. God knows all. And we know there are some biblical principles here. And if you set your life in order, God will bless you. So let us help you with building some lattice. And let's plant some seeds here in this fertile soil of your heart. And let's watch God grow up by faith your life and just see what God does with that thing. And you know what? It may not appear today, but in due time, I promise you, there'll be some blossoms. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be fruitful. And God's going to get the glory from your life. That's what we do here. That's all we're doing, is taking people from faith to faith. And so if you haven't taken advantage of that, you can. Just go to hbfcast.org. It's on this sermon series. Click the guy who's looking out over a cliff or something. Click that thing, get to the place, and all that's in there. And so looking forward, we need to strengthen the things that remain. We need to make sure that we're praising God for what he is doing in our midst, celebrating the growth that we've seen. This last year's been good. There's been a lot of growth in the souls of men. On February 11th, we're going to have a dinner. We're going to have food, fellowship, and we're going to talk about finances, the most boring thing that can ever happen in a church. But we're going to have a report, and it's going to be a good time. So you want to come out at 5 o'clock for dinner, and we're going to celebrate what God's done. And we're also going to see where we're at and take account of those things and go forward. We're going to be continuing to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. We need laborers all over the church. There are some empty seats even here this morning. We need to just pray that God continues to grow and to fill us up, not just numerically, but in the depths of our souls, that we see biblical, sustainable fruit that God can reproduce. That's what we need to be praying for. We need to prepare ourselves to handle the fruit that God is bringing us, from the nursery to HBI to the sound booth to the praise team. There's empty. We could use some more people up here. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a choir, like a whole bunch of people up here singing? That'd be cool. You are the choir, so praise the Lord. We like the choir, and we need some more folks to help out with the praise. I can go through almost every ministry, and every ministry will say, we could use folks, we could use folks, we could use folks. By the way, if you're heading up a ministry then, what's that mean? You need to have a plan, so when folks come to you, you know how to plug them in. You know how to train them. You know how to take them from where they're at and get them to where they go. Sometimes you might need to have a plan to help them go back and get the tools that they need. Maybe they're not equipped for the particular ministry. They're not ready to go into the jail, but they can get discipled, and they can join you here some other time down the road, and they can jump in and do great. So you got to be ready to handle the fruit that God brings. We need to pay our debtors. That's something that's on my heart. This church has just under $400,000 on the bill on the house here. So that's at a minimum $4,500 a month. And you can do the math. And if we keep doing that, maybe in 10 years it'll be paid for. But man, wouldn't it be cool if we could just liquidate that? I'd love that. So I'm praying that God would give us the grace to do that in the next few years somehow. And preaching the gospel to every creature. We got to continue to invest, right? Invest in taking it to the streets here in our own community, going around the world, taking missions trips. It's really cool what God's cooking this year with our VBS. Most of you have probably heard about it. So we're going to be doing VBS, in June. But you know what's neat about that? That VBS isn't just staying at Heartland. That VBS is going around the world. It's going to be going to Italy. It's okay to say that, right, Randy? Okay. And so, God willing, that thing will be going around the world. And then it'll go to Monmouth. And so God will take the things. As we feed the lambs, you know what he'll do? He'll use that. He'll magnify it to feed the sheep. And you know what? In that process, he'll train some of you up just so you can feed the sheep and the lambs right here where we live every week and build the body of Christ. And he provides, and you know what? He's going to continue to use us to provide scripture. This fall, we're going to be doing, from what I've heard, the first 20,000 New Testaments in Japanese that are from the TR. And this church is going to be the ones that assembles them and sends them. But in addition to that, there's all kinds of other projects already cooking, from FCA in Arkansas to Midtown Baptist Temple, to all of these other people needing Bibles. And a lot of them right now are in English. But we have needs in places like Hungary. There's a need. A real need, not just superficial needs, real needs to get the word out. And God's going to continue to use our church to do that. And so I'm looking forward to see how he does that. And there's so much more, but we're out of time. I could just go on and on about what God could do and the practical things that he could do. But at the end of the day, what is it really about? It's about getting God's word in our hearts so that we can get it in others' hearts so we can see God grow people. That's what it's all about, because we have already got the victory in Christ. And so this morning, the burden, the blessing, the results of vision. And where's that at in our life? Where's that at in your life today? Are you clear on where God is taking you? And if you're clear on going, yeah, I'm going to heaven, good. Well, back that into, where's God taking you then in the next 30 days? Where's God taking you in the next 6 months? Where's God taking you in the next 12 months? Where's God taking you and your family in the next 5 years? What does God have in store if he tarries? And how do you prepare? Many of us, when we look at that, say, man, there's some things we got to do. In my life, I got to adjust. My kids are at different stages. I have three stages for them, 6, 12, and 18, right? There's three seasons in their life, the way I look at it. So both of my kids now are entering that third stage of life. So I'm talking to Amy, and I'm adjusting, and I'm looking at, okay, how are we going to handle this? And in about 5 or 6 years, we're going to have a whole other set of adjustments coming, right? That's how life works. You need to be adjusting. You need to be looking ahead. You need to be looking at how is God going to utilize the liberties I have and the constraints I have to maximize his glory. And if you're not doing that, you need to start, because God wants to use your life, not just my life, not just the missionary's life, not the pastor's down the street's life, not the ministry head's life, your life. He wants to get maximum impact out of your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the opportunity to meditate on it. We thank